This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. The famous Alec Medford, and making his return tomorrow will be Corey Majors. But that means we still have Zach Wolchuk in the fold. Zach, it's been 2 hours. We're halfway through the show. How do you think we're doing so far?
I think this has been a solid 8 out of 10, fellas. I'm feeling pretty good about where we are right now.
Let's see if we can take it even higher. Now, who could help us with that? This would have been a great transition into last year's Texas Rangers, but based off of the World Series and everything. Like, I get that. But instead, give me cut number 7, because it's time to talk about those Dallas Stars.
Stars step in, Ben, up high, Harley scores! Thomas Harley picked the corner.
Now, that was an important goal to tie it up. We'll get to the next one, which was obviously even more important. But that was important to tie it, make sure you got at least a point. Obviously, they would go on to get the 2 points in overtime, because this is a Stars team that, by their standards, had been in a bit of a funk. You probably lost your opportunity at winning the division when you got smoked by Winnipeg. You lost the overtime game to Colorado, who feels very likely as your playoff opponent. And so to get a little bit of that home magic going back on was good, because the Stars have now won 8 straight games at home. That is their longest consecutive home winning streak since 2006.
Wow. All right. That is unbelievable.
Don't ask about what happened in the 2006 playoffs.
What happened?
I said don't ask about it!
In the 2006 playoffs?
This is your own fault. Just know, I warned you. They opened the playoffs that year against the Colorado Avalanche.
And they won.
And they most certainly did not win, as they lost in 5 games. And this is why I told you not to ask about what happened last time. How do you feel now?
Well, history is not meant to repeat itself.
Okay, good.
It is meant to be broken.
Because instead, let's go to cut number 7 and cheer you back up in case you didn't already know by now. Now the game's tied. Guess what? We go into overtime. And this is not going to be like the Colorado game. I think the Stars are going to win this one.
Right circle. In front. Poked away. Follow up. Score!
Now, Mikael Granlund had 2 goals. That is his first multi-goal performance since coming to the Dallas Stars. This is somebody that, going back, I think we all liked this move at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, it paid off very well yesterday. This is going to, if you can keep winning, I still think it would be incredibly difficult to catch Winnipeg. So, like, here's where you're at. You have 15 games left. You have two in hand on Winnipeg. And what that means is they played two more. I know you know this, Wolchuk and Alec.
But no, I need the refresher.
Okay. That means that Winnipeg has played two more games. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go off the assumption that when Dallas plays these next two games, they win both of them and get four more points. I know that's an assumption, but let's go off of that. That puts you at 93 points. Right now, Winnipeg has 98 points, and you would both only have 13 games to play, and you would have to make up those 5 points. Now, I know that there's another game against Winnipeg, and that's April 10th. And I believe that is here at the American Airlines Center. So I'm not saying it's impossible. It just feels unlikely unless you go on an absolute tear to close out the rest of the season. Now, the Stars also have one game in hand on the Colorado Avalanche. So let's say you win that game. That puts you 6 points ahead of Colorado with only 14 games to go. Okay. And I'm going to use the same exact logic. If I don't think it's super likely that you would catch Winnipeg, I don't think it's super likely that Colorado would catch up to you either. And right. So then at least you'd get home ice advantage in the opening series against Colorado. And as we established, that is clearly very important because the Stars have been on a roll.
So
at home, specifically.
I guess they'd get the Canucks if they were able to catch Winnipeg, like if the season ended today. That is much more of a favorable matchup. That's what's annoying, because last year you end up getting that spot and you were rewarded with Vegas.
Yes, which
but now
felt
it's
like a
looking
punishment.
Like, gosh darn it, if you were actually able to win this division, you're in a much more favorable scenario.
And yeah, it could be the Canucks, the Blues, the Flames. Obviously, I wish Minnesota would fall into a tailspin because we freaking own Minnesota. Not only because we took their hockey team, but also because when we play, it usually goes super well. So just wanted to throw that out there, kind of where we're sitting with 15 games left for the Stars. But this was a huge couple of points for them. Maybe a bigger deal, though. Thomas Harley.
Dude, Thomas Harley's been incredible.
So you talked about it yesterday. You brought us the potentially sobering news that Pete DeBoer said, look, I'm paraphrasing in Kevin voice. I don't know
Can
if you
do
guys...
Pete DeBoer voice?
No. I paraphrase things in the way I talk, not necessarily the way that...
So,
yeah.
Miro, not going to be with us.
Fair.
I don't know why. I can't do you.
It's
other
a little
than
higher
show.
Than I would have liked, but it's fair.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, do you guys paraphrase retelling stories in your voice as opposed to like the way the person would actually say them?
No, I'm not that conceited.
Okay. All right, well, you know what?
I love you.
That hurt my feelings, but that was very clever. So you told us yesterday, Pete DeBoer said, you might have to play that first series without Miro. So Thomas Harley, he had a goal, two assists yesterday in 25 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time. Now, the reason why that's important is Miro is usually an ice time eater, and he's out there a ton. In his last 17 games for Thomas Harley, 19 points in 17 games.
It's awesome, and shout out to the hockey hot Gavin Spittle, Spits and Suds. He had the stat that with Harley on the ice, the Stars outshot Anaheim 15-2.
Woo!
Which I guess that's according to Natural Stat Trick. That's an incredible number, and you do feel great, I think, especially Leon Bischel. Like, you could see the physicality. Now, I do think he accidentally screened the goalie on one of those goals.
I'm glad that you said that, because... Otherwise, I'm still just not worried. That's too far. But I still think Ottinger's been a little bit leaky. And if you want to take that one goal off his plate, that can make a big difference. But I thought he was fine.
I mean, I liked what Bishop was doing. Yes. Like, he's trying to get physical. He's trying to clear a guy out in front of the blue, in front of the crease. But it ended up kind of, I'm not sure Otto really was able to get to see the puck. But I do think with those four, like if you've got Miro, Harley, Lindell, Bischel, you're feeling pretty good. And then you can rotate in with Dumba, Smith, Lyubushkin, and then, of course, CeCe. But, yeah, I think that, I mean, we talked about this Monday, I think. You got to get Otter to steal you some games in the postseason. You have to. And you can't have the leakiness because you're going up against teams where you probably aren't going to have much of a margin for error, especially if you don't have your best player in the first round.
Can I tell you, I do think he's capable of that. I know there is a contingent.
We've seen him do it.
Yeah. I know there's a contingent of Stars fans out there that don't think he can do it anymore. I still believe in Ottinger. I still think he can steal you games in the playoffs. Clearly, this playoff will be a great reference.
It will be. Especially against Colorado, man. If you, I feel like if whoever can score three goals a game,
feels like that should be enough.
That's going to be a winner.
Now, I wanted to go along with this is something you sent along, Woolchuck, that I thought was really fascinating.
I sent along something?
Yes. You were very helpful with the show prep.
Thank you.
Sometimes not so much with your smart-ass comments, but still.
I know. I'm a jerk.
By the way, brand new episode of Spits and Suds, where you find your podcast, is available, talking in depth about this game right now. So the Athletic has owner rankings for the NHL. And it's a breakdown of fan perception and then like accounting for the owner's actual presence. So I will say,
like if they're around or not.
No, not that. I mean, like things that they could be responsible for. Okay. Whereas the other 50% is just kind of vibes. Like, let's put it out there.
That's they're really, immaculate, baby.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's 50% hard facts, 50%. But like, how do you feel about them, man? So the number one owner, okay, first of all, do you guys feel good about the Dallas Stars ownership?
I feel great about it. Now, maybe it's they let Jim Neal just do his job, Jim Neal's a big reason why you're a first-class organization.
You know what? By the way, newsflash to some people, it's totally fine.
Oh, you're allowed.
If you just let the GM do their job and you don't interfere.
Oh, so an owner's role doesn't, you don't have to be the,
no,
the GM?
No, you don't. In fact, that's pretty rare across sports.
I thought that if you own the team, you had to be like really involved in all aspects of everything.
That's what we've done with the Mavericks forever. Obviously, that's what we've done with the Cowboys forever. Doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way.
Ever since Tom Gilardi took over, this has been an organization that has won a lot of games. They have won a lot of playoff games. And unfortunately, they just haven't been able to get over the hump and win the cup final. But they've been to a cup final.
True.
And they've made conference finals appearances. And this is the year that finally Tom Gilardi is rewarded with Lord Stanley's cup.
So the number one owner in all of hockey, based on the numbers and the vibes, is the owner, Jeff Vinnick, for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Guess what? I don't care about him. So let's move.
I don't even know who the hell he is.
Yeah, fair. Vincent Viola, former pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. Sweet mustache. That's Frank Viola. Should have known you guys wouldn't know that.
Frankie V. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The Florida Panthers, second on the list. Third on the list.
The V's.
Bill Foley. Who cares? But we get to number four. The big Tomcat himself for the Dallas Stars. The fourth best ownership in all of hockey. He gets a grade of A. Been the majority owner since 2011. Their regular season rank, 8. Their playoff win rank, 3rd. Now, this is the part that stings, and you just brought it up. No Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. Despite having the 3rd best.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best playoff rank, because they're always in the mix. They've consistently made deep runs in the playoffs. They just haven't finished it off. Now, fan base evaluation. Willingness to spend. You think fans think that our owner is willing to spend.
Well, I think this was probably before the Rantanen trade.
That is true.
Which might have changed things, because they did give Rantanen a really good deal.
That they did.
But I think that it's hard to assess hockey deals all the time, because they end up being like 8 to 10 year contracts. And they don't seem anywhere near as pricey as what we see in Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NFL. You're getting an 8-year, $20 million deal, and we're like, what? That's a steal.
Sometimes it does feel like if they don't offer you that eight-year deal, they kind of think you're a chump.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, let's see if this thing is going to work out. So this is by far the lowest fan rating for the Stars. Willingness to spend, 14th. Compared to the rest of the NHL. Organizational stability, 3rd. Mm. Treatment of the fan base, 6th. Franchise vision, 3rd. Now we get to the probably the most important part. Your confidence in ownership, is it the same, higher, or lower than it was last year? You know how many people said lower? 2%. 2% think their confidence in this ownership group is lower than it was a year ago. Same, 71%. Higher, 27%. So, like, obviously the big number there is the 71% that's the same. But if you wanted to spin numbers however you like, you could say that means 98% of the people have the same or higher confidence. Now, I realize you could also say 73% have the same or lower confidence, and that's why sometimes you can manipulate numbers to do whatever you want. But these are really impressive scores off the board.
They are, and I think that you see a hunger with the Stars organization to make sure that they're able to finally put the best product on the ice to push through and win. They've got a great mesh of veteran players and then also the youth that's going to keep them contending for a long time. And they realize the time is now to capitalize on this by sacrificing future, which has been a great drafting and developing team. We give the Cowboys a lot of credit for that.
True.
But the Stars, Miro homegrown, Wyatt Johnston homegrown, Robo homegrown, yeah. Maverick Bork. I mean, they traded Logan Stankoven clearly, but Otter, homegrown player, Harley, Bischel. Right, these are guys that have been in the Stars system and that have grown up as Dallas Stars and won an AHL championship with the Texas Stars. So you mix in with deadline deals to go and get Marchment, to go and get now Granlund and Rantanen. Yep. And you also re-signed Duchesne in free agency. Like Jim,
what Nils, a value that's been.
Yeah,
by the way.
They've done an excellent job of building this team together. The one thing I wonder that I have felt each of the last two postseasons: are they physical enough? Or are they going to get bullied? And if they play against a Winnipeg, I am very scared about that.
And that's why Bischel is so important.
Yes.
Because he'll go out there and like, hey, let's kick some ass.
Because we saw that with Tanev.
That's true. Quick question. Since Zach Wolchuk is abandoning us, we don't have the statistics for this, but what if I ran this poll for Cowboys fans tomorrow? The same ownership question poll as the Stars. Do you think that would be an entertaining segment?
I think it would be entertaining because it would be drastically different in multiple areas.
Yes. From the 817, when does this poll come out for the Mavs ownership? You know what I really would love to see is the poll for the Mavs ownership now versus a year ago and get like their vision for the team and fan treatment and all that stuff. I want to see those side-by-side shocking changes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We'll bring you some My Buddy's an Idiot, but also NFL overreaction or reality. Next, right here on The Fan.
2nd and 7, Genty breaks through, and Genty to the 40. Genty's gone. Ashton Genty, 61 yards.
It's time for NFL overreaction or reality part two. Part one was yesterday. Will part three be tomorrow? Probably not. But we'll see how it goes. So my first question for you guys, overreaction or reality? You don't care what the mock drafts say or anything else. You still want and believe that the Dallas Cowboys will draft Ashton Genty in the first round.
Oh, if he's there, I absolutely believe they're going to take him. And I don't think there is any debate on who's the best running back for them. I think it is Ashton Genty. I think that it's smoke screens that maybe they'd be interested in a Marion Hampton. That's literally only if Genty's not on the board. So I do believe that maybe they do have a mindset of we don't want to prioritize running back unless it's a special player, and they viewed Zeke as that special player. I think Genty fits that. Otherwise, I think you could see them wait out running back. And I want them to come away with one by the end of the third round, but I wouldn't be stunned if we don't see them address it until maybe the fifth round where they've got multiple picks.
I'm not saying you can't find a lead running back in the fifth round, but does that give you insight if it doesn't happen until the fifth about what they think about the running backs they've already brought in?
Yeah, possibly. And also, I still do think it's not like you can't find production to your point.
Sure.
But I think when you look at who are the top 10 running backs in the league, the majority are all first or second round picks.
Yeah.
So, like, I can get production. I got production out of Rico Dowdle. But do I have a difference maker at the position that teams are scared of, that now it can help me have advantageous matchups because they're loading the box, and then now it's going to make it easier to throw the football? I don't think Rico Dowdle put fear in defenses like that. I don't think anybody on your roster does. Genty would. I do think an Omarion Hampton would, but I just don't. At 12, that's a little rich for me. I'd love to get him at 44.
Now, Alec, you want, need, believe, and somehow will manifest Ashton Genty to the Dallas Cowboys.
I want Ashton Genty on this team. I need Ashton Genty on this team. I will have Ashton Genty on this team. I think it's going to happen. I do think that there are some good fits for him ahead of Dallas, especially when you start talking about the Vegas Raiders of the world. If they still needed a quarterback, then I'd take them off the board for him completely, but they solved that with Geno Smith. But I do think that even with the running back renaissance, as we've dubbed it for the most part, I think a lot of teams are still going to be scared to take a running back inside the top 10, no matter if it's what could be a generational talent or not. I think people are going to be scared. I think he will be available there at 12, and I do think they ultimately make the pick because we know the Cowboys love to have their skill position players be the stars of the show. That's if you can have the franchise quarterback, the franchise running back, the franchise wide receiver, and the franchise pass rusher, and if he's healthy, Trayvon Diggs, franchise DB, they're going to be really happy. Jersey sales and everything, and great talking points, and in all likelihood, great production on the field.
I'm going to pop it on the wall of takes, Kevin. I'm going to say three running backs go in the first round of this year's draft.
Wow. Okay.
Three runners.
Now for our next question, we're going to go to cut number 14. We are going to go to Todd McShay. Overreaction or reality on this take?
I want you to hear me when I say this. Okay. I truly believe Shedeur Sanders is in play for that number two pick for the Cleveland Browns. What's our way out of purgatory? They're in purgatory because of Deshaun Watson. It's only to draft and get a quarterback on a rookie contract. It truly is. My greatest asset in this whole mess is my head coach. Stefanski is my greatest asset. Why?
Okay.
Because Stefanski has a proven track record of getting the most out of pocket passing quarterbacks with limited mobility. Sound familiar?
Let's stop it right there. Now, that's an interesting use of the term purgatory. I would say it definitely feels like the Cleveland Browns are in quarterback hell. But overreaction or reality, you do believe that the Cleveland Browns might draft Shedeur Sanders.
That's reality. I think it's going to be Cam Ward 1. I think it'll be Shedeur Sanders 2. Now, maybe the Giants say, hey, Cleveland, can we flip with you? I know they tried to move up to Tennessee. As of now, that's not happening. But I think, yes, Cleveland's very much so in play for Shedeur. And I think Shedeur would actually be very okay with going and playing in Cleveland.
And I do think that there's reason to believe that ownership would be in on that, too, because they just committed like $2 billion in private investment money to a new stadium. So if they're trying to drive up fan engagement, they're trying to get people to believe again, they get the franchise cornerstone and Myles Garrett locked down long term, right? You get the new stadium that people have been asking for a while now. You at least say, we're putting our money towards that. We have an idea for it. What else can we do? We can right a major wrong, which is the quarterback position. That's a great way to get people excited. So I think just from business model standpoint, I think they have to be interested. So I think it is a reality.
I'm fascinated y'all's take on this. NFL overreaction or reality, you should never get an automatic first down on a penalty unless the yardage dictates it. So the Lions have proposed the elimination of automatic first down for defensive holding and illegal contact. And there are a few things more crushing in the world than it's like third and 21. And you're like, well, it's a 5-yard penalty, but you get a first down. That crushes my soul every time.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think the other thing would be, you know, maybe we shouldn't do the spot foul deal on pass interference.
Okay.
Maybe we just say that's a 15-yard penalty, because how many times is that just absolutely, it's like a 47-yard penalty.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, holy crap, this has totally ruined the entire drive. In a positive, if it's your offense, then hell yeah, go ahead and mark that down at the 3-yard line for me. We were just at midfield. But yeah, I don't mind some of these tweaks that they're talking about here with the first automatic first downs.
Alec, what say you?
I think it should be very rare that it's awarded, and by that, maybe just personal fouls, something like that.
Okay.
I think there are certain infractions that can be worthy of saying, you screwed up that bad. We're giving the offense a totally new shot to do this over. I think like holding and any of that stuff, like simple in-game penalties should not result in that. I don't mind it the way it is right now, but I wouldn't mind seeing that go away. But I do think for personal fouls and like if a massive fight is started by a defender or something, you say, yeah, I think the offense gets a first down for something stupid or like a blow to the head where someone's obviously headhunting. Those situations I understand, but automatic first downs just off of a hold or what have you. Nah, I don't think we could. I think we could live without that.
We go to Kyler Murray for this next one. Allen's own Kyler Murray stomping down all the PISD schools every year. I'm only 27. I'm still young. We've got time, and I know we're headed in the right direction. Overreaction or reality? The Arizona Cardinals are headed in the right direction.
I'm going to say overreaction here.
Yeah.
I don't know that I think Kyler gives you some wow moments, but I just don't see the consistency there. Even his MVP year, when he was the favorite for league MVP after the first half of the season. And then things tumbled. Last year, they were looking good. They were looking like, oh my gosh, could they end up winning the NFC West? And then it kind of tumbled and fell apart. There's something about Arizona where I just don't think they're ready yet.
I'm going to say reality, but with a caveat.
Ooh.
I don't think they're heading in the right direction fast enough.
Mm.
I think their time is going to expire with Kyler before they inevitably get to that point where we say, yeah, they could be a contender in the NFC. Not a total Aaron Rodgers arc, but he might be at that like back end of his career before they have the full roster around him and they say, okay, time to cut our losses with him and draft somebody in the first round again. And then they go forward. But I do think that Jonathan Gannon has earned my respect. I think that he's been a bit of a better coach than I anticipated. I do think that the front office is kind of starting to understand. I think they're doing it too slow, though, so I don't think Kyler will be around whenever they do get competitive.
NFL overreaction or reality, this is based off of CBS's rankings on this particular question. Devontae Adams going to the Rams has been the best move of the offseason thus far.
Man, I think reality.
Yeah.
I really do like this move. I think that he fits with Puka Nacua really well. And I'm excited to see what Sean McVay can do. It was sad seeing Cooper Kupp at his presser yesterday. He seemed really down.
Because like he didn't want to leave.
Yeah, he wasn't really given a really good reason as to why the Rams wanted to move on, according to him.
Because remember when it happened, he goes, I do not agree with this decision, and essentially yet here we are.
Yeah, but I like it. I mean, I like the Adams move, and I think that he's proven he can still be a productive and good player. I don't know that he's a top 10 receiver in the league anymore, but I like the fit with Stafford. I love what they've got with Kyren Williams. Their defensive line has a chance to be the best in the sport next year. So yeah, I think Devontae Adams moves a good one.
I do too. I think it is probably the best move of the offseason. They're banking on his availability over Cooper Kupp is the only reason. If Cooper Kupp were to have been given a reason for his release, I think that's what they would tell him, in all honesty, is just, we think we can get somebody for around the same price, if not cheaper, that will be more available than you historically have been. But, you know, to go from a former Super Bowl MVP kind of guy in Cooper Kupp to one of the best receivers we've seen in this past decade, maybe, you know, that feels pretty fun. And to tell him you don't have to be the centerpiece of the offense, we already have that. I think that's really smart to take a guy that is on the back end of his career, but like Wolchuk said, still very productive at a high level, and say, you don't even have to be the number one option. You don't have to be the number one read every single play. I think that's a really, really good fit in a really good offense.
I know we talked a lot about what DeMarcus Lawrence had to say. I'm going to take you to cut number 16.
Okay.
And this is something that has obviously bugged me for a while, bugs me even more in the offseason when you see that he got paid. You agree with Charvarius Ward's assertion about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, like you said, you don't have many opportunities as an undrafted free agent. Even going back to the Cowboys, I signed with them as an undrafted free agent. In training camp at OTAs, I was strapping them boys. Like, the threes that I was going against, the twos that I was going against, the ones that I was going against, I was strapping all them boys. And I thought I was going to make the team in Dallas, but Dallas don't make a lot of good decisions, so they ended up trading me to Kansas City.
Well, damn. Overreaction or reality, you agree. Dallas does not make a lot of good decisions.
You'd have to lean that to reality.
I would.
I mean, a lot of the second contracts haven't been very good for them, which might also be a reason why they're in a lot of the salary cap problems that they're in, even though they've got some money, and they freed up some to get this Micah deal done. But when you consider they traded for Parker Anger, an offensive lineman that never played a down for them, and now Charvarius Ward went on to win Super Bowls with Kansas City and has been a really good corner, and it's tough to find good corners.
It's like, not like you need cornerbacks, right, on this team?
Oh, they grow on trees. You can draft them anywhere. I can't argue too much with him here.
Can't argue with him at all. And it's a very wide scope to just say they don't make good decisions, but he's still right. You can point at multiple areas: roster construction, the way they deal with their salary cap, the way that they draft at sometimes. Like, there's certain ways that you can just say, yeah, he's right in almost every accord. And especially in his case, it seems like he was pretty correct there.
NFL overreaction or reality: signing Sam Darnold was a lateral move for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's a reality to me. I think Geno Smith, what he did, there were times where he did win games for Seattle. I don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold had some moment, like 5 touchdown games with Minnesota last year, was really good. Was that more a product of Kevin O'Connell and him being a quarterback whisperer and having a really, really quarterback-friendly offense to help scheme receivers open and ease the plight of his quarterback? Maybe. We'll see. But Geno, I mean, him running in the touchdown to come back and beat San Francisco this past year, I didn't think he played too bad in the postseason game a few years ago. They just turned the ball. Well, defensively, they were really, really poor in that game. So to me, yeah, like I would say Geno's probably a little better than Sam Darnold personally, but that's a debatable. That's an argument. I think some people would take Sam Darnold.
Whenever you look at a guy like Geno Smith, there's a lot of caveats with him, right? Because we talk about a lack of defense, and especially last year, his offensive line was not good. And there was a lot of times that he was having to make plays in spite of his offensive line, and he's not a super young quarterback. You know, he's not the super agile, mobile guy, but he's still making plays happen outside of the pocket in spite of his line. And whenever you look at the numbers and whatnot, it's really hard outside of a draft pick to upgrade from that level of quarterback. In the free agency market, you usually don't upgrade from that ever, unless it's a Tom Brady that's leaving the Patriots after a million years. You know, unless it is a Peyton Manning going on his free agency tour, it is almost impossible to upgrade from that. This is lateral at best, and if I had to put money on it right now, I think it ends up being worse.
Do you guys mind if I ask one more overreaction or reality? I know we talked about some of these fits yesterday and then earlier today with the ESPN article, but people have still been asking the question. Overreaction or reality? Amari Cooper or Stephon Diggs ends up on the Cowboys this year?
Oh, man. There was a while there I really thought Amari Cooper was coming back. I don't know that that's the case anymore. So I'm going to say that's overreaction. I'm going to go fart butt cracking on that one. I don't believe it. Unless and the Diggs thing's going to have to be for the right price. They might have interest in Diggs, but it might be, look, it is, he might be able to get more money elsewhere, I think.
I'll go ahead and say reality. I don't know which of the two, because I think both of them have a strong case as to why that makes sense. And I do think that at least one of them will be in the right price range just because of where they are in their careers, and for Diggs and his injury progression too. And the obvious connection there with Stephon and his brother playing here already. I do think one of them will. Why not? I think it makes totally sense. A guy that you traded a first round pick for and inevitably traded for nothing, or a guy that is currently injured and just because his brother plays on the team already, cute cute story. Very Cowboys.
I like the spirit of that. Why not? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for participating.
Thank you.
In NFL Overreaction or Reality. Want to remind everybody, on Friday, you can go see the G-Bag Nation at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. It's going to be the G-Bag Nation Tournament Watch Party at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers off of 121. I think it's going to be a blast. Last time y'all were there, it was rowdy. I think this time
it was really rowdy.
It could be even better. But now it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot.
He goes, my buddy.
Now, this first one is going to hurt my feelings just a little bit. 877-881-1053. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Or are they out there playing golf when they're supposed to be getting ready for the NBA season again?
Oh, no.
Does that bother you? Did you see the Anthony Davis golf videos?
Well, yeah. If he's got like an adductor strain or whatever it is, like, should you really be playing golf? Don't you think that's going to be a little stressful on the body?
It feels like it definitely could be. Mm. I'm with you on that. This first one's painful. The Texas A&M baseball team. Texas A&M baseball team started the year ranked number one.
Yeah.
By a lot of different outlets, including D1 baseball. After the first month of the season, here are how all the number one teams from D1 baseball have been ranked before this year. They've been around for 10 years. Vanderbilt was fourth, Florida first, TCU third, Florida second. You're starting to get kind of an idea of the trend.
A little bit.
Vanderbilt, 8th. Florida, 5th. Texas, 2nd. LSU, 1st. So, up until last year, every team that started number one had been in the top 10 through the first month of the season. Last year, Wake Forest threw that off. They tumbled all the way down to number 16. Still in the top 25. You're hanging in there. And then there's the Texas A&M baseball team. They're not currently ranked. So for the first time in the ranking existence of D1 baseball, a college baseball team that was ranked number one to start the season is now not ranked at all.
Uh-oh.
Do they need to be idiots for that? I feel like maybe.
Maybe. But I've always wondered, like, why are we doing the preseason stuff anyway? Like, it's really okay. Just for, entertainment value, like, especially in college football. How many times do we see a team's like they're in the top 10 and they finish totally unranked? But it's like, hey, it's number 8 Florida State against number 12 Michigan. The Chick-fil-A kickoff, you know? So I think that's really what it's all about.
From the 469, my buddy's an idiot. He cannot stop calling it Twitter. It drives me crazy.
I call it Twitter.
I do too.
I'll never change.
I think I'm with you on that.
It's not. I can't say on X or he. Like, what do we say? Quote tweeted. You quote X'd. It doesn't sound right. That. It's bad.
It's like, did you ever feel that way growing up when one of your friends decided they were going to have like a more professional name instead of Billy?
Yeah.
They were going to be Bill or Joey. They were going to be Joe. And like, I get it. More power to you. But you've known that person forever as Billy or Joey. It's hard to change your mind.
It's dumb. It shouldn't bother people as much as it does one way or the other. Like, I don't care if you call it X. I don't care if you call it Twitter. I call it Twitter just because it's been that way for what? Over a decade now?
Yeah.
You know, it had been, I should say. So I don't care. I know exactly what you're talking about if you say it either way. It does not bother me. It should not bother anyone. I think it was an awful idea to change the name in the first place. But hey, I'm not the billionaire in the picture here, so I don't get to make that decision.
Okay. That is fair. Now, believe it or not, I have another college baseball story. Wouldn't have thought that this would come up yet.
Oh, another one.
Here we are. Owen Hayes is a 21-year-old who plays baseball at, I forgot, some school you've never heard of in Santa Clara. Masters University. There you go. I have to admit, I don't believe I've ever heard of Masters University.
Me either. This is made up.
My life. So TMZ Sports, which is always all over stories like this, alleges, and there is video, that the 21-year-old Owen Hayes got into a heated confrontation with somebody, and he eventually started a fight with this person. Probably happens all the time. What's the big deal? The person he started the fight with is 84 years old.
What?
This is some Conor McGregor stuff right here.
Let me just fight old people.
I want that as a drop, first of all. Secondly, what's the age where you're like, that person is too old to fight?
I don't know. Old man strength is a real thing, but I'd probably say 70.
That's true, but I think old man strength, I'm thinking of like mid-60s. They grew up on the farm, mm-hmm. not 84-year-old hanging out drinking at the bar, right?
Yeah, like I'm going, once you hit 70, I just wonder if the quickness is still there.
True.
I think the power could be, but maybe the movement skills are lost a little bit.
From the 817, my buddy is an idiot. He doesn't think the Rangers can go 162-0.
Agreed. Whoever doesn't think that is a schmuck.
I am a schmuck then because, yeah, what a weird conglomeration of letters to spell that word. No, I'll be a schmuck.
You think you're saying a bad word. Well, now you've got to tread lightly after what's been coming out of your mouth.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
What's not going to happen?
You know what? I'm going to take it a step further. If the Texas Rangers go 162-0 in this regular season that's upcoming, and our bosses allow it, mm-hmm. I will give the day off to every single on-air person here, and I will work all of their shifts all day by myself. No, Carter, you have to stay. I don't know how to do your job.
I mean, I kind of want the day off, so, yeah.
I will do it for an entire week. No.
Every day, I'll do all the shows. Yeah, because it's never going to happen.
Well, okay. All right, get ready.
Yeah. Now the bosses will have to a lot of that. Content. I don't know if they'll like that or not.
Probably not.
Let's just break out a piece-a-thon every single day.
A lot of buttons for you to learn.
Never.
I think a day's fine, but we'll take the week.
Yeah. So generous.
From the 972.
And this is any team then, because you think it can never happen.
Oh, well, sure. But this
so when
is
the Dodgers do
no,
it this
for
year.
Now, specifically for the Texas Rangers.
Oh, come on.
We'll think about expanding it out. The Dodgers, I can
get that leg on the table. I know you can do it.
I can. From the 972, my buddy's an idiot. He doesn't like the holy instrument that is the kazoo. All right. Update about what we did off air. So once again, we trolled Alec by playing the kazoo national anthem, because there's an ad we play that prominently features a harmonica. And so that reminded me of the kazoo national anthem. And then I thought about what my wife said yesterday, and she said, poor Alec, have you played him all the Apple Bottom Jeans songs yet? And that is another thing that I like to troll my wife with. So we played a Beach Boys version of mm-hmm. Apple Bottom Jeans, a Louis Armstrong version mm-hmm. of it. And I feel like I'm slowly driving Alec Medford into madness.
I don't know where you got the slowly part from. You've driven quickly. Me all the way there. I like how Jess is like, poor Alec, but immediately you should play him these other things.
See, but I don't think she thought that's the direction. I think she was more like, but does he know about, because she like wants other people to feel her pain, because I will go into a YouTube loop, man.
Oh,
yeah,
I believe
we know.
It.
We know. I experienced it yesterday, experienced it today. An hour and 10 minutes.
Well, the 469, don't do that. Mike did that all
an
the time.
An hour and 10 minutes? You've got a countdown?
Oh, yeah,
Mike, we're having a blast. We're taking a load off.
We would finish the first segment, and Mike would go, good job. Only 3 hours and 45 minutes left.
Well, that's why he had to jump around a couple shows.
See, I only do it when you play kazoos.
From the 469.
You did it every day.
My buddy's an idiot. He doesn't think the game, the season opener is a must win. I will tell you this.
Of course a must win.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You got to start the season on a good note or else the whole thing's ruined.
The KNC Masterpiece will be live at Globe Life Field for the home opener or the season opener.
Let me ask you this, Hagee.
But it's not a must win.
No, it is. All right. In 2023, did the Rangers win the opener?
I don't know. I had a feeling you were going to ask me that.
They did. They did. And I believe it was quite the comeback against the Phillies, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Was that the DeGrom one?
I think so. But they came back and won the game, and it was awesome. And they went on to win the title. So I think if they did not win, and it is actually fact, did not win that game, they wouldn't have even made the playoffs, Kevin.
Okay. You ready? It's about to happen. I decided to go back and look. In 2010 and 2011, they won their season opener in both of those seasons, too. So if the Rangers are going to get to the World Series, rare correction on my part, I do now believe.
Yes!
That the Texas Rangers season opener
is
a must-win game.
Good job, Alec.
We did it. Me and Corey couldn't convince him, so thank you.
Thank you.
It was a combined effort. I'm going to include Corey in that. I'm going to say these months of telling him that the first game is pivotal.
I think that everybody deserves credit for this, all the way back to Parker Hillis, Reginald Atitula, Colby Sapp. Hell, we might even go way back to the original producers of the KNC masterpiece. Some Waddle action. You want to throw anyone else in there?
Yeah,
DJ,
absolutely.
The DJ Pridemore.
Colby should definitely take some, because he would just punch me until I admitted that it was true.
And seeing Colby do karate against air during the breaks, that's a man you don't want to mess with.
I agree. And also, man, he has lots of thoughts about fighting and stuff and how his dad told him to never fight the naked man. And so
that's true. I have often thought about that. I've pulled the move.
If for any reason, Colby ever wants to fight you, take off all of your clothes.
All of a sudden you get naked and people turn around and leave.
Yeah, he'll be spooked.
More ways than one.
He'll be like, oh my God, I got to get out of here.
Now you're alone, naked in a room.
Yeah. You can make a TV show out of that.
What are you going to do?
All right. From all the people who are texting, why doesn't Kevin believe in the Rangers? Okay, I changed my tune. They still can't go 162-0, but they can and need to win the home opener. Fair?
All right, go get Rangers.
There you go, Bruce Bochy. You all know right. The deal. Right.
Hey, we got one win in there, Alec. We'll work on the 162-0 stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, one's not enough. I need more.
Okay, well, I'll work on that. By the way, really quick, longest active March Madness droughts. Do you think these schools are idiots?
Yes.
Dartmouth, they haven't been in the tournament in 66 years. You know what happened then? That's the same year that Alaska and Hawaii became states. That's the last time they made it. And then I'm going to throw out one more for you. Tennessee Tech. It's been 62 years since they made the tournament. Last year they made the tournament is the year that JFK was assassinated. And now we're just getting all those files.
Well, now that's a full circle moment right there.
It really is.
Does Dartmouth even still have a sports department?
You look
like a Dartmouth encyclopedia.
I have no idea.
If I had one school in mind that Kevin would know, it's Dartmouth.
I'm very sorry.
The hell?
Plus, I'm going to throw in Alec, because when Tim Kirkjian was on, he wouldn't let me finish by saying thank you for Kirk joining our program today. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Oh, they do.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. This is your chance to shine, Woolchuck. Coming up next, it's the top 10 with Wooly Bully.
All right. Scotty Scheffler's Masters menu is out. Did he just totally repeat himself? And the top 10 best Bruce Willis movies of all time on his 70th birthday. What's your favorite Bruce Willis film? That's next. And then I almost said The Nation, the masterpiece.
What the hell?